can't get it out of my head all day long. I've had that. Mom was wrong. You know, ignorance is an excuse. Because I'm sure, you know, like I said earlier, I'm sure everyone's mother smacked them upside the back of the head and said, you know, I didn't know I couldn't do that, and smacked you and said, ignorance is no excuse. I'm sure every parent has done that at some point. Being stupid is not a defense. And yet, it seems like, you know, this right there. it's just amazing. Anyway, let's find out what our good friend Bob Nay from Talk Media News has to think about today's events. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So what are you thinking here? What's the idea?
Well, okay. First of all, let me get to the procedure first. I thought it was a mistake on the Democratic part. Nadler, chairman in particular, started the objection to the press conference of Barr. And it's, and then all the focus went to that. And we want you to stop the press conference. And you're biased. Yeah, Barr's biased. Yes. Yes, he's biased. But as far as a press conference, if it had been delivered to the Democratic side at 11 o'clock, they would have had to have read it through and then went out and do press conference. Barr's going to speak anyway. He knows what's in the report. So what I think they should have done is had a press conference within 2.5 minutes after listening to him.
Sure.
First of all. So anyway, it almost, how the media is, it almost derails over that. I found Barr's statements absolutely fascinating in several ways. One, he stated it more than I've heard it since this whole thing began about the Russians. I mean, they did it.
Yep.
There's no
doubting it.
If ands or buts about it, they did it.
No, I mean, isn't that what we've been saying for 2 years now?
I know, but nobody came out yet. And yes, we have. But nobody came out yet. And here you've got Barr, of all people, and he said, yeah, the Army did this, and they did that, and very clear cut. And then he said no collusion. But if you read the report, they don't use collusion itself or coordination as a legal framework for dealing with the Russians. It's really weird what they wrote through that report. But onto the obstruction issue, which Barr made a very interesting statement, and then we never got an answer on it, from him, from the media questions, but he said he and Rod Rosenstein and the department basically disagreed with the way the Attorney General was looking at the framework of what's obstruction or not. And then he said, then they looked at it from his point of view, and then the department took a look at it, which they didn't come to the conclusion that they would charge, the president with obstruction. Now, what I found very interesting in the entire verbiage in the Mueller report, Rick, was this, though. Mueller, in the report says that the president is not above the law, basically, he can't shield himself from the Constitution, and this was relayed to Trump's attorneys. Now, I read the response of the president, but that clearly, he could be culpable for obstruction of justice, and his office doesn't shield him, which then makes me go to the next question if I was on the committee to grill Mueller when he comes, which is, why didn't you charge him with obstruction of justice?
Well, my position all along has been, and maybe we're going to, hopefully we find out when Mueller testifies, if he believes that this was about giving Congress the information to hold, Congress being the place where he's held responsible.
Yes.
Because it's my view, and obviously you were in Congress for a long time. You would know obviously much more than I would. There's a view that the only way you can remove a sitting president is through the impeachment process through Congress, right?
Correct, through impeachment.
Right. So now, to me, that's the central point here.
Well, yeah, and people are confusing indictment because somebody said today, the Congress can't indict; it doesn't have a grand jury. That's true, but the Congress has a trial, which is impeachment, and a conviction or not, which is the jury, which is the Senate.
Right.
That's what happens. Now, the argument now that they're going to do subpoenas, they want to see the full report. Here's the problem, I think, that Chairman Nadler and Judiciary Committee will have. if Mueller follows up and says, yes, my team redacted with Barr, and yes, I'm 100% in agreement with everything we redacted, then
it's
there's
over.
The problem. It's over. Yeah. It's over, and Chairman Nadler might as well just stop on that aspect right there. He might as well just stop on it because they're not going to get it, and only a judge can release grand jury information.
Right. And look, you know, I was reading through as much as I could today, and what's amazing to me is how much is ongoing.
Ongoing, continuing.
You
so
know,
therefore, you can't release it all, and let's face something else. I don't care. I served in Congress. I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican. You know, you give the grand jury information, you've given it to one too many people. It's going to get out, and it's going to destroy cases.
No, absolutely.
Period.
But for me, the ongoing stuff, you know, keeps going, leading me back to, I don't know how you come to, Trump has been totally exonerated, no collusion, no obstruction. He's off scot-free. He did. I've actually had people today tell me he did absolutely nothing wrong. You know, he's basically as clean as a baby born chick. And I'm going, but the report doesn't say that. Can you point to a page where it says that he did nothing wrong?
Well, here's where the Trump administration and Republicans, I'm telling you what they'll seize on, I know. And what they will seize on is the fact that things are coming out, things said about the president, about, you know, how people didn't want to take a phone call from him, how they would, you know, avoid him, how he would do this, how he would do that, all the things we kind of know already.
Right.
And the media will focus on that, and people need to put that aside. It's the personality of him, and stay to the fact that, you know, like in the report, it says that he ordered people to do things and they didn't do them. Now, in regards to, you know, Comey, et cetera, et cetera. Now, that was what was interesting. One of the news things, it wasn't a conservative news entity. It might have been New York Times, but it came out and said, well, the staff saved him from obstruction.
Right.
What do you mean saved him? You know, Rick, I promise you, if you tell me to do something and it's not legal and I don't do it, and then I turn around to the FBI and said, well, I didn't do it, they're still going to get you for telling me, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to get you for telling me to do it.
Now, the other part of it is, you know, the Trump Tower meeting. It in the report said that, you know, Junior and Manafort and Kushner and the rest of them, the meeting was about getting dirt on Hillary from the Russians. And they expected something from them. They went into the meeting with the intent that they were going to. And this, again, is stuff we've been talking about for 2 years now. They went into that meeting expecting to get something. And then they're evidently, according to the Mueller report, the Russians didn't give them anything. And that, to me, the you went in expecting something, to get something. That's intent from the beginning. That's, again, back to what my mother always said, you know, ignorance is no excuse. She just smacked me in the head for being there.
Mm-hmm. Now, overall, this wasn't the worst day for the president.
No.
It wasn't. And no. I think if looking at the exit end of this, Mueller, when he testifies, is going to be the key as to whether the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, in private meetings says, guys, okay, do a couple of things, and we're done right now for this. I mean, it's going to be, you know, Mueller will be the key to that, of how he answers, what he says, as to where, you know, the House goes with this. I mean, as this report comes out, there's going to be ugly and embarrassing things there for the administration, for the president, no question. But I just can't see, unless Mueller has some dynamic testimony, I just don't see after this the House having the ability to say, we now will investigate what Mueller investigated. I just don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, there's this part of me that thinks that, yeah, and we'll see how it plays out. But again, I go back to my original thought of Mueller's intent, and he's going to testify to this one way or the other, whether I'm right or I'm wrong, was that he would just provide evidence, and it was the proper court is Congress to take this stuff to its conclusion. And that's how my mind has been wrapped around it for a while. And kind of this just kind of laid it out for me. You know, the whole we didn't, you know, indict him, but we don't exonerate him either kind of line, you know, leads me to that conclusion. And we'll see. I mean, I understand, you know, Nadler has said he wants Mueller to testify, I think, you know, sometime before the end of May. I guess like the 23rd or something like that.
Right. Correct.
We'll see. You know, I'm hoping sooner. I would rather it be sooner, like tomorrow, than later. Because the longer this administration gets to run around and say we're totally exonerated, and all of his sycophants, you know, do the we're totally exonerated thing, the more it's going to stick in people's minds.
I told a friend of mine today who called me, who's a Democratic, you know, strategist here in Ohio, and I said, let me tell you something. The president would love to engage the committee on this issue for the next 5 months. He would love to do it. And they said, well, his agenda would be, you know, taken off course. I said, yeah, and the House also.
His agenda is to get reelected. He doesn't give a rat's behind about getting anything done.
There is none. So, yes. And anyways, I just I'm amazed. I mean, there's got to be an exit strategy. But very fascinating day. And Mueller, and I think, is the key. Yeah. He's the big key of what he says.
Have you ever thought about maybe, you know, cashing in on becoming a Democratic strategist? Have you ever thought of that?
Well, you know what? Do you remember Billy Tozan?
I do.
Okay. Billy was a Democratic congressman from Louisiana.
Yeah, big pharma guy. Right.
Yeah, later became, yeah, the pharma guy. And he was pharma guy when he was there, too. So Billy Tozan, when we took control of the House and Newt became the Speaker, he switched parties.
Right.
Now, I can't tell you, Rick, how many times people would be talking and the Republicans say, we're going to do this with the Democrats, and all of a sudden Newt would look over at Tozan and say, Billy, what do you think? And Billy would stand up and say, well, this is how the Democrats think. And it was fascinating, you know? Very fascinating. So Newt would so I want to do that, yeah. And it'll be so cheap.
I mean, because, you know, I've said this for years. You know, Democrats play this game really poorly. They don't think they don't have a long game. Everything's, you know, short term. Everything's, you know, what can we do right now without thinking of, you know, an election 2, 3, 5 down the road, which I think, and maybe I give Republicans too much credit. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think they have a vision down the road much better than the Democrats do.
Right. And I'm just kidding. I don't want to be a consultant. I like the radio.
I'm told that's where the money's at, though.
And it's, oh, yeah. Well, let me, you mean radio?
No, the consultant gig.
If you find radio money, you call me.
No. I'm driving a 20-year-old pickup truck.
I know.
There's no money in this.
Right.
But hey, you know, we'll see. So we'll see how this plays itself out.
Right.
It most certainly was an interesting deal. I wanted to bang a couple other things off of you before you get out of
sure.
here. You know, this your favorite person, John Bolton, evidently has announced some kind of a new crackdown on Cuba. What more can we do to Cuba?
Well, he's doing this under the guise that Cuba is helping Venezuela. Cuba's going to send what? 100 troops there?
Yeah.
I mean, really? That's what he's doing under. This is the sad part, though. Nobody's paying attention to what John Bolton is doing. He's obsessed with Iran, obviously,
right.
But he is also obsessed with anything Obama did, and he's obsessed with Cuba. He is literally, sadly, this is a very sad story, because it's not getting attention and nobody in Congress is doing anything about it. He is dismantling Cuba piece by piece. He has stopped the 5-year visas. That's where you can, you know, get a visa approved and you come in and out, right?
Right.
For a 5-year period. He's done that. He has now restricted the money that you can send to your relatives in Cuba. The old theory was we're making Castro rich and going to help the economy. Well, you know, people are able to send money back to their families.
So they can eat.
Larger. Right. So they can eat. Well, he's dismantling that. He's done that, and this is how far he's taking it. He has undone the agreement that baseball made, and baseball had an agreement that, you know, you could come over and you didn't have to have the defect factor, as they call it. You can come over, play baseball, go back. It wasn't just a matter of the fear of the defection, and that was an agreement made by their baseball and our baseball, and he's undone that. And so it's a matter of time before he basically forbids anybody to be in Cuba.
Yeah, when do we start bombing?
Well, I think it's so sad that one person with his fixation has been able to completely undo a very well-accepted deal, accepted by many Republicans, accepted by many people, because 50 years did nothing. Castro's dead, and now John Bolton is just trying to recreate, the Cold War Bay of Pigs.
But where's the support for this coming from? I mean, there's got to be a base of support that, Trump, thinks that Bolton's important in this.
Well, yeah, Bolton, the late Senator George Voinovich, who you knew, who was mayor of Cleveland and our governor at one time, fought the appointment against Bolton. He felt that Bolton was one of the most dangerous people that could be in the government when Bush was there. Bush had trouble. He couldn't get him approved, as you know, and he had to step back as ambassador of the United Nations. And Bolton has been, he's made the circus and stuff, but he's been the odd man out. And all of a sudden, he gets in with Trump. And I think Bolton created his own entry, with Trump. Pompeo, of course, helps because he's very supportive of Bolton. But Bolton's got that right-wing element, the Cheneys of the world.
Yep.
That's who loves Bolton. So somebody at least pulled strings to get him into the White House, because at first Trump didn't even want Bolton when he first became president.
Now, I can't imagine how I can't imagine how that relationship works, because Bolton's got he's not necessarily a yes man, I think. Maybe behind closed doors, but his ideology is, you're right, it's we're going to start bombing at 5 o'clock.
Right. He has dismantled the Iran deal. He opposed the president on the troops going out of Syria. But he obviously, right at this point in time, he's lasted, I guess, longer than a lot of other people.
Yeah, because I'm surprised. I mean, you don't usually get to disagree with Trump in public and still make it out the other end.
And, think about this. All these cruise lines going to Cuba, all the business that was created in America dealing with Cuba, right?
Yeah.
And Trump's turned his back on all of that because one man, John Bolton, doesn't want anybody going to Cuba.
Wow.
Amazing.
You're right. And you got to wonder what the fallout's going to be, though.
Right.
And finally, I wanted to get your thoughts on yesterday. We talked a little bit about the possible end of the love affair between Kim Jong-un and our Donald Trump. Evidently, that aside from testing a new tactical weapon, they're asking for Pompeo to out.
Right. They said they want somebody more mature.
hold on. More mature than Pompeo in comparison to Trump?
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, they can't just, Trump just can't tell Secretary of State not to go. So I don't know if this is a stall tactic by Korea. I don't know. North Korea, I don't know what this is, or if it's just because it's a hermit kingdom. But obviously the big deal, which I thought, I would give them credit if they could have done that deal, obviously is on very, very shaky grounds. And now when they start demanding things like, you can't have Secretary of State involved, we don't like him, then I think that this deal may, if Trump doesn't do something soon, the deal's just, it's done.
Yeah,
it's buried.
Because as I was reading this, I'm going, this is a sign that they're attempting to torpedo the talks.
Right.
And then have a rationale to go back to their propaganda
ways.
And say, look, we couldn't deal with this guy because, whatever the reasons are. And, just one of those things. I was going, I'm thinking this is a torpedo.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Well, we will soon see. Bob, I appreciate the time.
Thank
Always
you,
great talking with you.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
For and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.